Welcome to another thrilling, dare I say exciting, Bill McCuddy edition of...
Let's hold our applause to the end.
Sitting around talking movies. We're talking about the Bourne movie, Jason Bourne, this week. And we're also going to talk about Sing Street, which comes on demand and on
spoiler alert,
DVD.
It's great.
It is great.
It's very good.
And we're going to talk about Gary Marshall, the director who passed away recently.
Spoiler alert, his movies aren't very great.
No, that's not true.
Well, we'll talk about
it. I like a lot of his movies.
But we're joined, as always, by Bill Brigoli.
I'm sweaty.
And as I just mentioned, Bill McCuddy.
I'm hot just looking at him, but that's not in a creepy way.
And joining us for the first time, an old friend of ours, personally, who I'm really delighted is sitting on the show, is Roger Friedman. If you've never heard Roger Friedman, he's with
showbiz911.com. No, it's showbiz411.
No. So who's the 911?
911 is what you call if you're in trouble, which you are now.
Well, I am in trouble. So let me tell you that it's
it was showbiz 911 until 9/11, and then he changed it to showbiz411.com.
Anyway, I've been to the site. Despite, because I don't have to type it in. It's in my favorite.
Good thing, because you would type a 9 all
the time.
For the listener,
SH and it just comes up.
For your listener out there,
that's right. showbiz411.com. Check it out. And Roger Friedman was with us. So let's start talking about Jason Bourne. All right. So this
we all saw it last night. We went to a big.
We all saw it.
La di da.
So we taped the show on a Tuesday. So we saw it Monday night in the middle of an unbelievable rainstorm in New York City, and. You know, it's amazing. It's 16 years since the Bourne Identity. It doesn't really seem that it's been 16 years since that first one.
Especially in the flashbacks where he's been augmented to look like he was even before the first movie.
So here's what I...
All right, I want to read you something.
All right, go ahead.
This is very important.
I was going to tell everybody what it was about.
But this just in.
No, I want to read this to you because people forget this. October 20th, 2010, I wrote, Matt Damon is Bourne free. And he told me the whole story about why he and Paul Greengrass left this franchise. They were not happy. They were not happy and they left. Paul Greengrass thought he got screwed on United 93 or something like that.
Right, that was the 9/11, right, the plane went down. Right, yes.
And so they left and said they would never come back. But they came back.
Yeah.
Because why did they come back?
Well, it took a lousy Jeremy Renner side boot, I call it. It's not even really. Well, I mean,
what
it's
was
just
that one called the Bourne Legacy.
Legacy, I think.
Right. Yeah. So why did they come back, Roger?
They came back because Universal Pictures said we can pay you a lot of money.
That's the reason.
If you'll come back, all is forgiven.
So let me ask you this, Roger.
And wait, let's make the point that it was a favored nation kind of a not favored nation, but they said they would only do it without each other. Correct.
They said they would only do it. Matt Damon said, if he's not doing it, I'm not doing it. Because they
him
tried
being
to get
Paul Greengrass.
They tried to get Matt Damon to do it with a different director, and he said,
but the first one was a different director.
Yeah, Doug Liman.
Right, Doug Liman did the first one.
Yeah, we like Doug. I like Doug Liman.
I like the first movie.
Yeah, why didn't he come back?
He didn't come back because he went off to make movies with Tom Cruise.
Oh, there you go. So do you think, before I even get into this, do you think that Matt Damon and Paul Greengrass will do more of these? I mean,
oh, undoubtedly.
Bourne Again?
This was set up. Bourne Again is definitely one.
Well, this was kind of more like, I mean, to me,
Still Bourne.
This movie, how would you describe, Bill Brigoli, tell us what this movie is about. Tell everybody what this movie is about.
All right, Bourne's off being Fight Club guy for the beginning of the movie.
That's true.
And then he comes back, and Julia Stiles' character is off doing something strange. Yes. In a garage with a bunch of guys.
Well, she's trying to find something about Bourne's father.
Yes. Well, no, she trips. She discovers something about Bourne's father.
She breaks into some place, hacks into something. You know what I noticed about this movie? And this is what's going to happen now. Because the studios are so dependent on China and Russia.
It's all action and no plot.
They can't have enemies anymore.
Yeah.
We used to have China and Russia as enemies.
That's
well, we had so many space aliens.
Right. So now the enemies are going to be hackers.
Well, Vincent Cassell,
or your boss, or your boss. Every Bourne movie has an evil guy at the top of the CIA or the NSA or the.
And if you're joining us for the first time, as I say every week, this is an after show to a television show we do on locally in New York on New York One called Talking Pictures, and nationally on Time Warner Cable. And we were talking about this today, and I lost my train of thought, Bill.
We watch the bad movies, so you don't have to.
That's true. No, but what were we just saying? Why did I bring this up?
I have no idea, but I never do.
Let's talk about the fact that Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh yes, this
now looks like a cartoon character.
Right. That this Tommy Lee Jones replaces.
Yeah, it goes
Albert Finney.
Albert Finney. Right. John Strathan. What's his first name?
David Strathan.
And then Chris Cooper was the first one.
Right.
Because what happens at the end of all these Bournes is they get indicted. You know, Bourne finds another file or opens up another piece of like.
I know he's a buzzkill.
Yeah, and because what I said on the show today,
it seem to you in this that Tommy Lee Jones, had you not known the series.
Tommy Lee Jones, by the way, if you haven't seen it, looks like
he looks terrible.
A tree and a panda had a baby.
That's good.
Well, Tommy.
He looks like one of the trees from Lord of the Rings.
wouldn't you say that if you didn't know the series, that like Tommy Lee Jones looked like. Like he'd been there for like all the other movies, and it's like, you know, Jason, I knew your dad. It seems like he'd been there for all the movies. He's a brand new character.
As did
Vincent Cassell.
All these guys have the same line. Do I have to remind you that? No, you weren't there the first time. What do you mean remind me that?
Vincent Cassell goes, you are always a traitor. You are always a traitor. And it's like, who are you exactly?
But Bourne always has memory loss. So he has to be reminded. He doesn't remember anyway. So they could tell him anything. He's like the guy from Memento.
But the problem is now he knows everything. So they
David
had
Wells or something like that.
David Webb.
Right, but now he'll get hit on the head at the beginning of the next movie and forget everything.
What's that?
He'll get hit on the head.
Yeah, you're right. That's how they do another one. You're right. He's going to have amnesia again.
Born cocked out.
Reborn.
Born Alzheimer's.
It's Pam Ewing in
Reborn
in the shower.
What did you guys think of Alicia Vikander in this?
I liked her,
but her voice was weird.
Yeah, well, she didn't have an American accent.
She was trying
to use a voice of some kind, and it sounded like she was pretending to be a man. She went very low in her register.
They de-attractivized her. I mean,
she had her hair pulled back.
No, she's still stunning. She's still beautiful. But they tried to – they didn't have a lot of makeup on her. She had her hair just all pulled back. She was not doing Ex Machina.
Matt Damon had no lines.
He has 28, he said. He's been joking.
29 lines. No, that's true. That is actually
– what did he get, $1 million a word?
Something like that. And Alicia Vikander, she has most of the dialogue.
Yeah, she does.
I mean, she's like.
But see, I never bought her. I don't, you know, somebody like Jessica Chastain or somebody would have been a little more with some gravitas. This woman who gets in the back of a limousine and basically blackmails the head of the CIA to get a promotion, I didn't buy that out of her at all. And I'll tell you something else. I couldn't tell whose side she was on through the whole movie, and I still didn't know at the end.
On her own side.
Yeah, but.
To me,
she was ambitious.
Here's the movie in a nutshell.
It's an action movie,
and the action is great. It opens up with a 45-minute like motorcycle chase,
and it ends with a 45-minute chase in Vegas.
Through a casino in Vegas, which is spectacular.
And I've stayed in that casino. I've stayed in Bally's.
It's now a drive-in.
I stayed in Bally's like 20 years ago. It's the lowest end of the casinos. That's why they didn't mind if they came in and destroyed.
That's why everyone applauded when they drove into.
I don't know if it was a set or they actually
was a set on a Hollywood soundstage or a London soundstage.
They did a tremendous amount of the shooting there in Vegas, like almost 3 weeks.
I think that they destroyed the casino on purpose so they could rebuild. That is one of the.
So it's an insurance claim. You're saying
one of the grosser casinos. on the Strip.
Here's the thing. I think from an action standpoint,
it was an unfortunate reminder of what just happened in Nice, which I think they're.
Yes, I agree.
A truck driving over people and through cars.
People who are watching the Bourne Identity have no idea what happened in Nice.
No, I agree with you, Bill. I think that it was. I mean, it was a truck plowing through people, and I agree. I think it was very bad timing.
178 cars, by the way, for those of you counting.
Look, I think that it's a. From an action standpoint, it's terrific. But if you're looking for a story or character development, wouldn't you agree, Bregoli?
No.
The only laugh in it is Tommy Lee Jones. He just gives a really good line reading of something like, go ahead and do it.
How's that going for you or something like that? And it's such a Tommy Lee Jones line that everybody just laughs because it's
– Do you think that in the previous Bourne installments – let's not look at the Jeremy Renner one. Let's look at the first three. Do you think that there was – would you say there was a lot more plot development?
Well, the first one was based on a book. These aren't based on books anymore. Robert Ludlum.
Yeah, by Ludlum, right?
I knew Robert Ludlum. And he didn't write these great books. But, you know, he died, sadly, in his early 60s, so he couldn't keep going. And so they've had to invent all of these plots for these movies because they don't exist.
Well, it's like Ian Fleming. They ran out of Bond books.
They had more. They had more Ian Fleming books.
Now
they
a lot more. A lot more. But they have the same problem as the, I call them both the J-Bo franchises because they're both with James Bond and Jason Bourne are like J-A-B-O's. And the thing is, this is like Skyfall. They had to go to a family story. They had to bring up something. They're getting just as bankrupt in only five movies now.
What do you think is the best one? I think the first one was the best one. I really
I like all the. I like all
what
of the
do you
first
think,
three.
Bill? What do you, Pergoli, what do you,
actually, I think I like the first one that Paul Greengrass directed.
That would be the.
That'd be the second one.
The second one. Yeah.
The first one was the Bourne Identity. Then it was the Bourne.
They're alphabetical, so it's Identity, Supremacy, Ultimatum.
Okay. What about you,
Roger?
Is that
Roger? On purpose?
I have no
Roger,
idea.
Do you have a
that's how you've remembered it?
Yes, that's how
I
remember
it. Do you have a favorite one?
I like the Manchurian Candidate.
By the way, since he's bringing up that movie, aren't there a lot of echoes from that film in this one? And also, have you guys all seen The Parallax View?
Yeah, the great Parallax View is a brilliant movie.
Well, this has got some kinds of...
Al Pakula.
Yeah, and Warren Beatty.
That
was a brilliant plot movie. I mean, when he goes into that convention hall, at the end of the movie, speaking about we're in the middle of the Democratic...
But this has a framing somebody else kind of assassin motif.
There's no story here. I mean, you know, if you
I agree 100%.
You don't even know this series.
Look, can I ask?
I mean, it opens up with like I said, a half an hour chase. You don't even know they're chasing Jason Bourne, and it's like who cares?
And by the way, there's a coup going on. Let's have a meeting there by a statue in the middle.
Yeah, I'll meet you at the statue.
Yeah, I'll meet you at the plaza. 15 minutes. I'm not going to be there.
And then actually, it doesn't take much to get there. As it turns out.
Yeah.
But does this movie answer the basic questions? Was it cool inside the theater?
You mean was the air conditioning
was available?
The air conditioning was fantastic. The seats were comfortable.
Yes.
The
popcorn started on time.
It started on time. It was very adequately made or better. and at a certain point, I was very excited. And at another point, I took a little nap. I thought it was terrific.
I didn't think it was terrific. I thought it was – I think if you're looking for an action film – then great. But if you're looking for... I don't think it compares to the first three movies in terms of story.
And I don't think it looks like Greengrass directed it. It doesn't have those fast-moving kind of...
Oh, it did. I was looking at the editing, actually. Seriously,
no, there's not
the editing was good.
No. There's a lot much longer scenes in this movie.
Do you think
it,
from a story standpoint...
No, I don't like the story. I don't like...
the first three movies, which had more of a... involving story.
No, this is the first three were from Bourne inside out, and this is from Bourne outside in.
That's true.
And that's the problem. They're trying to shoehorn a storyline into this movie about all of this intrigue and this computer kid who's hacked into everything and is now spying on everyone.
Let's talk about that kid for a minute.
He's in a great TV show on HBO.
This great show that we love called The Night of.
The Night of. I don't know if anyone's watching that.
HBO. His name is Reese.
When we said a great HBO show, we thought that was a pretty good name.
What is The Night?
Reese Ahmed.
The Night of?
The Night of.
The Night of. Richard Price, the great Richard Price, wrote it, and it's really good.
Is it an hour?
No, it's 8 hours. Yeah, it's a miniseries.
And Bill Camp, who's also in this movie last night, is also in The Night of. You'd be better off watching The Night of.
No, I've got a DVR and I haven't had a chance to watch it.
What is it
about?
You've
got to see the show.
What's it about?
It's about this kid who's you think he's been framed for a murder. I don't want to give too much away.
Okay.
But he's a cab driver in New York, and he picks up this sexy girl, and then bad things happen to him. And it's almost like at the beginning, like After Hours. Like
I was just
going to
say, it sounds like the Scorsese.
Except it's a lot darker.
Just going to say that, Rod.
Really bad things happen.
We believe you.
Comic happens. really bad things happen to him. And it has a great collection.
So he's a Griffin Dunn kind of guy?
No, he's I don't know what
he's Pakistani. Yeah, or Peru.
But he's terrific. And he was in, what did I say he was in?
He's in
Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler.
You don't like Vice.
Yeah, he was Jake Gyllenhaal.
Do not like Vice Principals.
No, Vice Principals was impossible. No, terrible.
Walton Goggins.
No.
But we digress, and the reason I want to stop us from digressing, which we're welcome to in a moment, is we've actually sat down with Matt Damon and the director of the film.
Well, Bill Bergoli did, believe it or not, and tell us about it, Bill.
Well,
what was that like?
He first of all talked about how important this character is of Jason Bourne.
It's been a huge role for me on a whole number of levels, I'll always be associated with this role, and kind of no matter what else I do, you know, to do something four separate times in your career, you know, it's going to follow you around. But I don't mind being followed around by Jason Bourne.
So Bourne financed that lousy fracking movie is basically what he's saying. And everything else that he's got to make.
But he has five children.
They've got to eat.
And they have to eat. And I don't think the wife has like a job or anything. So it's important that
I like the fracking movie.
Oh no, that was a terrible movie.
And it was with John Krasinski.
Yeah, Krasinski. Yeah, they wrote it together on his dining room table. Remember, we had lunch with them, and they told us the story.
Were you with that? Yes, I know that story.
But it's that movie did not work out.
I like this
Matt Damon movie that Steven Soderbergh did. Remember that movie?
Syriana?
Ocean's Eleven?
No. The one,
where he wears the prosthetic nose and he's under the insider.
The insider is
the Russell Crowe one, but it's sort of the same. What was that one?
This guy's a pathological liar.
He thinks he's 007 and he works for the government, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
he was good in that.
Cameron Crowe one. We bought a zoo. That was not good.
That's another show about Cameron Crowe.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Cameron Crowe when we get to Sing Street.
So let's move on.
Yeah, all right.
So Gary Marshall passed away last week. And, you know, before I start bashing his last few movies, which were pretty bad.
He was 81. He made a lot of great things when he was younger and even older.
Yes.
Okay?
I agree. Well, I'm going to say Gary Marshall directed many of the episodes and wrote several of the episodes, but was the executive producer of what I consider to be one of the funniest, if not the funniest sitcom in the history of television, and that is The Odd Couple.
Yes.
He took the Neil Simon play, which is a really difficult thing. I mean, how many TV shows other than MASH, you know, can you really name where you take a movie or a play and you actually make it? He made it his own. It's better than the play.
It is better.
And Tony Randall, brilliantly cast. Jack Klugman, brilliantly cast. And there were episodes of that show, I mean, when they redecorate the apartment, when they win a car, and they have to park the car in New York City and split that, or when they inherit a racehorse. I love that show.
That's
and Gary Marshall was the Larry David to Seinfeld. You know what Larry David was to Seinfeld behind the scenes. Gary Marshall was to The Odd Couple. I can watch it again and again and again, and I have. I own all of them on DVD. They're great. And so it doesn't matter what Gary Marshall did.
And he made a couple of good movies.
He made some really good movies.
He did Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Okay. First of all, he also did Happy Days.
Mork and Mindy. He discovered Robin Williams.
He discovered Anne Hathaway for The Princess Bride.
Right.
He discovered Julia
Roberts.
For Pretty Woman. I mean, she did Mystic Pizza, but that pretty much made her a superstar.
Yep, absolutely.
And that, you know, Pretty Woman's a pretty terrific movie.
Yeah, but yeah. Pretty Woman is a really good example of how he Disneyfied everything he put his hands on. You know, that was a movie called 3000, which was much darker about how much you spend for a woman a night. And because I know the guy that wrote it.
Yeah, but people love Pretty Woman.
Of course, it's a great film, but
Wait,
he has
Gary
a reputation.
Also, what's his movie? He made a great movie with
his
Tom
first
Hanks
movie,
and Jackie.
It was called Nothing in Common.
Really
and it's about a,
an ad executive in Chicago and his dad.
Very nice movie.
They don't
wasn't great.
Good,
it was okay.
Good, I don't think it's
Jackie
great
Gleason's
either.
Last film.
I think it was a very nice movie.
But he did Young Doctors in Love. He did Beaches.
Also,
I like Young Doctors in Love, actually.
He did Beaches.
Beaches.
He did a horrible movie with Greg Kinnear called Dear God.
Dear God. Or Oh God. Oh God or no, Dear God. Yeah, Dear God.
Oh God is a John Denver movie.
Yeah, right.
With George Burns.
And if you ever saw him on Murphy Brown, he was hilarious.
Well, he was hilarious. First of all,
I know what we're both going to say.
He was hilarious as the casino.
He was the casino
owner or manager
in Lost in America.
Yes.
When Albert Brooks goes up there,
this is a good idea. You'll be the casino of the heart. You'll be the casino that actually gives the money back.
The wife, played by from
Julie Airport, Haggerty.
Julie Haggerty loses all the. She's just flips.
You can
out.
Never use the term nest or egg again.
Right. And actually, a great line.
Puts all the money on a roulette table.
When he goes to his boss at the beginning of the movie, and he goes, "I gave you 8 years of my life, and I want them back." It's a great movie.
First, if you never saw Lost in America, it's great. I mean, he loses all his money, and he used to be an ad executive.
But Gary Marshall is the head of the casino.
He's a school crossing guard.
Yeah. He's buying
Gary
a Mercedes,
Marshall.
And he calls Heinz about the Mercedes. Right. How much is a Mercedes? $38,142.
So he goes into...
$38,000, really? Does that come with leather? No, you want leather, you put shoes in the car.
So Julie Haggerty's wife loses all their money.
The nest egg.
This man's bald. Right. So anyway, and he tries to talk the casino manager into giving them back the money, and he's doing an ad pitch, and he's like, "You'll be the casino with a heart." I can see the ad campaign now, and Jerry Marshall's just sitting there going,
"Listening."
He goes, and people will come here. He goes, "You know, they'll flock into your hotel and want to stay here, and the rest, but we don't make money on the." It's such a thick Bronx accent. Right. We don't make money on the hotel rooms or the restaurants. We make money in the casino. You're a nice guy. You make me laugh. I'm done.
I can comp you at a show or give. He offers him a comp or something. He's lost like $100,000.
I think he says that every time he acts. You're a nice guy. You make me laugh.
Well, Gary Marshall grew up in Moshaloo Parkway in the Bronx. I grew up on Pelham Parkway. His production company and Penny Marshall, his sister, who he also kind of brought to the fray. She first appeared as Myrna the secretary in The Odd Couple and then became obviously Laverne and Laverne.
Yeah,
Shirley.
I think he said his mom or aunt said, find Penny a job. Get Penny a job.
Apparently, Tony Randall said that to me. I interviewed Tony Randall and Jack Klugman together, which was great because they did this play on Broadway for Randall's National Theater Company. It was called Three Men on a Horse, I believe was the play. And he said, Gary, everybody thought it was nepotism because he had his like brother-in-law, all these people working. He goes, but Gary would hire the best people. These people wound up being great people. But he grew up in the Bronx and he had such a thick accent, as Penny Marshall also has a very thick Bronx accent. But he was also very good in A League of Their Own. It was supposed to be sort of like a Wrigley candy guy. I don't remember what the name of the character was, but he's the one who David Strathairn convinces to start, you know, when all the men were off to war in World War II, he convinces them to let's put women on the field and put them in sexy uniform.
But Neil, then he uses his Rolodex, and I'm sure he still had one until he died. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a thing with names in it that spins around. We now call it a personalized digital assistant or a cell phone. But look, he used that to make Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, these terrible Love Boat-like stunt-casted awful movies.
He's a brilliant director. But his last few movies weren't really that good.
Buddy, one of them was with your friend Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau.
Well, yes, but all of did a remake of the front page. Right.
How about those Grumpy Old Men movies? Listen, these guys get to a certain age. Their legacy is secure, and they've got to make some money.
Right. Look, Gary Marshall.
Your buddy
said,
Woody Allen, who you've recently interviewed, and I know you're very friendly with, still makes good movies.
He still makes good movies. But, of course, he has a lower overhead.
Well, Gary Marshall.
He has a lower overhead.
New Year's Eve. Was it called New Year's Day or New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve.
And Valentine's Day. Mother's Day. These are really
terrible. Oh, no. Groundhog's Day was good.
They are very. No, Gary, that's another movie, another director. That Groundhog Day is a great movie. But, no, his last number of movies.
Well, they were like TV shows.
They're not good movies.
They were like
movies.
Love American Style.
That's basically, they could all have been called.
Here's my trivia question for Bill Bergoglio. Are you ready? How did Happy Days start out?
Happy Days.
No. I don't know. I know how Mork and Mindy started out because it was a spinoff of Happy Days. That's usually
Happy
the trivia
Days
question.
Began okay. as a segment, as a skit. I don't know if you call them skit. Love American Style. They were Love and the This, Love and the. It was called Love and the Happy Days.
One of the vignettes. Okay. Well, let's call it a vignette.
Love American Style?
It was a 1-hour program.
That's
Love
what
American
those three movies are that you're talking
it's
about.
It's called Love and the Happy Days. It was not filmed before a live audience, as The Odd Couple was not the first season either, and I prefer the when they went to a 3 or 4 camera shoot. And they did a pilot, and it became Love and the Happy. And ABC, on the strength of the reception to that Love and the Happy Days segment, made a series out of it. But he also discovered Henry Winkler, Gary Marshall, and the fonts became iconic. I mean, the jacket
and Michael McKean, who was either Squiggy or the other.
In
Laverne and Shirley.
That's true.
Laverne and Shirley is grating to watch, but
yes, it is grating. I can't watch that show.
It's very well cast. There are a lot of
Happy Days is very watchable. Not the last number of seasons,
Once it jumps the shark, that's where the expression
came from. Very aptly put, Roger. But the first few seasons of Happy Days, when he took the writers from The Odd Couple, Lowell Gantz and Mark Rothman, and Gary Marshall was very intricately involved in those first number of seasons, it's a very, very funny show. And he really got the best out of like Tom Bosley and Henry Winkler and Ron Howard and Anson Williams and Donnie Most and it became a very
fun. But unfortunately, it's the stuff you do at the end of your career that you're remembered for often.
Find
The Odd Couple on television. It's not even on TV Land or any of those.
Well, there's a horrible remake with Matthew Perry.
The original must be on like ION or
Decade or one of those.
It's on.
The drooling.
Look,
channel.
Rest in peace, Gary Marshall.
Well, rest in peace, Gary Marshall, and thank you for The Odd Couple. And I interviewed him for Wrong Turn at Lungfish, which was a play that he did at the Promenade Theater off Broadway. And he was just
a lovely guy.
He was a really
nice
guy.
He was married for 50 years or something.
Yeah, he had a normal life. You know,
right. he was a regular guy.
Right. He was like.
And everyone liked him. But I tell you, watch Murphy Brown because he's hysterical with Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman plays his nephew.
He's also on Louie. He's also on the TV series Louie. Yeah,
and Soap Dish.
That David Lynch arc where Louie is trying to replace
David Letterman.
Oh. Gary Marshall is one of the executives in that.
And now Louie Anderson's playing a woman.
What's that?
On FX. You know that he plays a woman now.
Louie?
Louie Anderson plays...
I'm talking about Louis C.K.
Oh, Louis C.K.
Louis C.K.
He's still a man.
Maybe.
All right, moving on.
Everyone's fluid now.
All right, so... we saw this movie, McCuddy and I, called Into the Forest, which was with Evan Rachel Wood and with...
Ellen Page.
Ellen Page and Ellen a chainsaw.
And yeah, a chainsaw.
You saw it, Billy?
Yeah.
Tell us about it, Bill.
Well, starts off, power goes out.
These two sisters live in the woods.
In a really nice house, actually.
At first, it turns out to be badly made.
With a bad roof. Yeah. And the power goes out, and the sister who's a dancer has to use a metronome to do her dance moves. Ellen Page just gets grumpy at
dad. Please, can I have some minutes of gasoline just so I can hear some music? Please.
Yeah.
Well,
so
let's make the point. They're trying to maintain a normal life.
That's right.
And they're up in the woods, and when they go to town, it's never the towns are out of gas. People are turning against each other. And what's interesting about the film for me is what's interesting to me is that a tremendous amount of time passes. And every time the screen dips to black and it goes 2 months later, first it's 10 days
later, then it's 15 months later, really
impactful, I think.
I hated the movie, and I think the two actresses are really good. I hated the movie.
Do these two women have sex with each other?
No, they don't, but they have sex with...
Well, that wouldn't be
bad. And Ellen Page has a boyfriend.
Okay, Roger, I think
you'll appreciate... Does anyone have sex in this movie?
Yes.
I think you'll appreciate them.
Yes.
For 2 hours, watch them hunt, watch them cook, watch them nail wood boards on the house for protection. Watch Paige fall down, Ellen Page, after she fires off a rifle. Watch her get intimate with Max Minghella, her boyfriend who shows up for like 10 minutes. Or basically don't watch it at all.
Oh,
because
Max Minghella?
It's boring. It's just
boring. It's not boring. It's really well done.
First of all, the musical score overwhelms everything. They try to cue you in on how you should feel at certain moments.
Uh-huh. Yeah, musical scores never do that.
In real life, actually.
It's an apocalyptic premise that's badly executed by the screenwriter director, Patricia Rosema, and I don't like it.
Oh, Patricia Rosema?
Yeah.
She's a good director.
Yeah, she is.
I don't like this.
Well, this is good.
Again, somebody, just like Gary Marshall and his final movies, people have to pay the mortgage.
Right. Well, I don't like this.
Can't
movie.
Blame her.
So he's wrong, by the way. It's good.
For me was that I was watching it, and I was three-quarters of the way through. Well, let me tell you. I'm glad to hear that, because three-quarters of the way through, I was watching on a link, and the thing froze up and said system failure.
Uh-huh.
Good
and
for you.
So the power went out. That's appropriate. The power went out.
That's a better ending to that movie than the stupid ending that they put on.
No, it's a great ending.
You can imagine what happened.
Very cool ending.
Yeah, and that's the new thing in movies.
So that's the new, the open ended.
This movie that Roger likes, which is on DVD and on demand this week, that I really loved a lot, called Sing Street.
I love Sing Street.
Tell us about it.
Well, John Carney wrote and directed Sing Street.
Who did Begin Again and Once.
And Begin Again, which was originally called Can a Song Save Your Life, when I saw it in Toronto.
I like Begin Again. Did you like Begin Again?
I like the title, Can a Song Save Your Life.
Yeah.
But I love the movie. I like his movies
a lot.
May
I interrupt you for 1 second?
Yeah. Why would you stop now?
Title change. There was a Nicolas Cage, Bridget Fonda movie. I can't even remember the stupid name of the movie that they changed it to.
Oh, yeah. It's about the waitress and the tip.
It should happen to you.
Well,
the original title was Cop Tips Waitress, $1 million.
Yeah.
That's a great title for a movie.
Well, there was a movie called Dancing with Architecture.
Nice.
And that was a Miramax.
John Stewart was in that movie.
And they changed John that Stewart. Title to something, you know,
everybody
plain.
Was in that movie.
But Dancing with Architecture was a great title because no one had any idea what it meant. And you know,
see that film. See that film just to watch Sean Connery in a bunny costume hopping
with Gina Rowland. Gina Rowland.
Gina Rowland.
Remember that movie, Bill?
Yeah.
They go to these, you know, they go to focus groups. They say to focus groups, "Do you like these titles?" And the people go, "No, I don't know what that means."
How do you not like "Cop Tips Waitress $1 Million"?
That's so they change it to something plain. But you know, you wouldn't have Straw Dogs. You wouldn't have any great titles. Dog Day Afternoon. You wouldn't have any great movies from the old movies. If they had gone to focus groups,
Forrest
and asked
Gump
them
is a pretty bad title if you think about it.
I remember
I saw it too much before it opened, and I'm telling people, you got to see this movie. Even my
I'm not
mother.
Going to
look
that Forrest.
Forrest anyway, Gump, wait. And you're like, what?
Let's get back to Sing Street.
All right, right. Sing Street.
So Sing Street is about this kid living in Ireland. Now, John Carney's Irish, and once was Irish musicians also. Then he came to America and did Begin Again. So now we're back to Irish musicians, and this kid is trying to make it big. And
because he meets a girl,
he
says, "I have a band."
Decides he's gonna
this girl who's like his muse. And
he meets a hot girl, and he can't get anywhere with her.
But she's not just a hot girl; she's like a smart hot girl.
Yeah, but in the beginning, he's just attracted to her. She's very pretty, and he doesn't know what to say to her. So he goes, "I'm in a band. You're a model. Oh, why don't you be in one of our videos?" He just does that. He doesn't have a band, so it's like, okay, I guess I got to form a band now in order to make this legitimate.
And from my meeting all these people back when the movie premiered. I mean, really, that's what they did anyway, because the kid is only 16 or 17 now, and they sort of turned him into a musician.
This kid, Ferdea Walsh Pilo.
Yeah, so Ferdy or something.
He's
terrible
cool,
name.
And he's a good-looking kid, and I think he's somebody to keep an eye on. And
all
the girl,
he
kind of
can't sing
Boynton,
at first, and then he gets good. Then he sort of turns
it. Boynton.
That's called acting.
Who's
the model.
The girl. She's great.
They have great chemistry.
Whoever plays the older brother is amazing. Yeah. That older brother about you were in my jet stream and has all these.
I was
he's
here
sort
for
of,
6 years
He's sort of like
you.
The Philip Seymour Hoffman role in a Cameron Crowe movie. So this has the feel of a Cameron Crowe movie.
Well, there's
and he's
a great
got a
sequence in this movie where he's playing to like 8 kids in a gymnasium. And all of a sudden he starts imagining that he's in the Back to the Future prom scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden it's a fantasy sequence where everybody is wearing those red suits that they were wearing like in Back to the
Future. Well, this is the music video he has in his head.
Danced in those like poodle skirts and, you know, beehive hairs. And it's just an amazing sequence. And the song is good, too, that they play. The music is very good.
The music's very good. And that movie did not get the what it was due.
I really didn't. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Come back in the Spirit Awards.
I also like the character of the kid. He doesn't take shit from anybody, really.
Yeah.
Like, there's a brother that wants him to – that's in the Catholic school that insists on him wearing black shoes.
Right.
Kind of gets a revenge on that kid. There's a bully in the school. It's a really cool twist what he does with the bully. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
But he does stands up to the bully.
But John Carney writes these really beautiful fables that are really lovely. And yeah, I think people will love Sing Street.
Yes, it's not original, but it's sweet. But who cares? It's sweet, charming,
the other movie
romantic
from
coming
from the spring that I liked so much that nobody went to see was the Richard Linklater movie.
Oh, that's 5 years.
Movie. Everybody gets some.
Yeah.
Everybody
wants some.
Oh, everybody wants some.
That was another great movie.
Bill doesn't like that movie.
I don't love that movie, but I'll tell you another great movie that's a musical that got away with Anna Kendrick, which is Richard LeGravenese's movie.
I don't like that movie.
The last 5 years, I think.
Where it jumps around time to
a musical
thing. Yeah,
very good.
I don't like that movie.
Yeah, you're wrong.
All right. So before we close it out, do we want to give any publicity? I hate to even bring it up because it's such a horrible documentary and you liked it. Called Chasing
Niagara.
Niagara
is a good movie. Rent it.
Stinks.
No.
It stinks. It's a movie about a guy, a documentary about they follow for 3 years. They train. They want to go over Niagara Falls in a kayak.
Uh-huh.
Which sounds like a good idea for a documentary, right? They have those little GoPro cameras on
their
helmets.
And there are
helmets.
There are probably 5 people in the world that
are
can
they
do
crazy?
It, and they're a little crazy.
Okay, so here's the thing, and I'm going to ruin the movie, and I don't care.
I know you're not going to ruin it.
I don't care.
I know what you're going to say.
Instead of ruining the movie, can I just ask you a question? Is this at all like a movie I saw on one of the Access channels last week called Chasing Viagra?
No.
Is it like that?
No. So check this out.
Ask your doctor about Chasing Niagara. Chasing Niagara may not be right for you if you don't like documentaries.
3 hours. For 3 years. It's an 85-minute documentary. For 3 years, they're training, and they're going to smaller waterfalls and jumping off these waterfalls with these kayaks. And after the first
scientifically looking at the waterfalls and saying, this is the line we have to take because there's no boulders here. There's no
waterfall kayak jumps. You go, that's interesting, but then it's kind of redundant. I mean, by the 50th one, it's like, I got it.
I think this movie is all about the opportunities
I won't.
I'll ruin the movie. They don't go over Niagara Falls.
So who the hell? Because
it's all about the journey.
I'm watching this thing and they don't do it.
It's all about the journey. That's what it's about. That's what you don't get.
No.
These are the best trained people.
They get to Niagara Falls,
Neil.
And they're like,
these are the best trained people in the world.
Yeah.
They're the best trained people in the world. They're the only people that could go over Niagara Falls in a kayak if they wanted to. And they look at it and they look at the dangers and they go, you know what? I want to live beyond this.
No,
and
that's not why they
to
don't
me
do
the
it.
Whole
they
thing.
Do it because the police get wind of
no,
it.
No, they don't.
And they says, my friends
you didn't spend. Pay attention.
And there's a big, at the end
attention.
Of the movie, there's this big revelation that kayak spelled backwards is the same word.
Is that
true? Yes. And
so is a Toyota. So look, here's what we do.
Interesting to have the
sitting around talking
Niagara Falls
tweet us,
routine.
Watch Chasing Niagara. If you agree with me,
come
say yes. If you agree with the,
we're on
please visit Showbiz
Movies, you know, on Twitter. And we have
SA Talking Picks.
And let us know if you like
SA Talking Picks, PIS.
Go to Cafe Society.
Cafe Society, we talked about last week. It's very good.
It's great.
All right. So anyway, I think Mr. Brigoli, I think
our time
that's
is up.
About it. Huh?
Should I turn the switch off?
Next week, we're going to talk about Suicide Squad. So I want to thank Roger Friedman. Go to his website, showbiz411.com, which is very good. You'll get a lot of interesting interviews and inside information on what's going on in the movie biz. And I highly recommend it.
Neil, your ride is here, by the way, outside.
No, those are the people coming for the Chasing Niagara people.
Those are people coming because you said Showbiz 911 to begin
That's
with.
That's right.
And that's it. And,
that's true.
So thank you, Roger.
Yeah, we had fun. Roger was – will you come back and join us again?
I'd love to come back if we can discuss Roger Ailes.
All right.
When next we join you.
You can clip that out.
No, we don't take anything
around talking movies with us. We'll sit around talking movies with you next week.